worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Then looking further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. All of Psalm 19. And then finally now, from staying in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112. Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. All of Psalm 112. Thank you, Father, once again for the wonderful, the powerful, and the blessed gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is you and you are your word. And your word is powerful. It's full of joy, full of light, full of peace, full of grace, full of power. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you every single day. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to make that the high priority you'd have us to make in our lives. And help us to be faithful to teach and train and encourage others to do the same so they too will see the benefit and receive the benefit and the blessings of knowing you and walking with you in your word every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Mark Oss. Mark is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to serve you, and thank you that my voice is, and my ear feels good enough to actually show up on the show today. And God, I want to lift up Isaac while he's out and vacationing with family, and I pray that you would bring him safely back to us on Tuesday. And God, I pray your blessings on this broadcast today. We see so much happening in our world, even in my own family today. It seems like there is so much tumult, so much going on, and when it happens all at once like that, all I can do is trust in you, Lord God, and I'm doing that today, and I pray, Lord God, that you would see us through once again, and that your will be done today and each day. God, I pray again that somebody listening today would be touched deeply, would be led by the words that you have given to Pastor Joseph, and that your will would be done in this broadcast. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family today. We do ask, as we may often do, please pray much for the ministry of the American Family Association, the Ministry of American Family Radio, and the ministry of this broadcast as well. We need your prayers. We really, really do. Your prayers make a big, big difference. Father, thank you, Lord, once again for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for all of these persons that make up our listening audience, Father. Father, bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil, that we may not cause pain, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for us as the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for being a part of our listening family. Today we're looking at the topic, the joy of discipleship. The joy of discipleship. And if you listen on a regular basis, you may recall two of the key topics that we will focus on often and regularly are becoming a prayer warrior and discipleship as a whole. And of course, it's helpful to understand what discipleship is. What is it? What is a disciple and what is discipleship? Well, the process of discipleship is, of course, when a person first hears the gospel, they receive Christ, then that's the first step in discipleship. But then it's time to grow up and mature. And so God is not calling us just simply to make converts. He calls us to make disciples. A disciple is a learner, a follower of Christ, someone who is seeking to become more and more like Christ with every passing day. So our job is to know Christ and to follow him every single day. So again, the Great Commission is not to go out in the world and make converts. That's the first step. But he says, make disciples. But I want to challenge and encourage you to be mindful of this fact. There's great, great joy in doing what God said to do. There's great joy in obedience. Keep in mind, the Word of God tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm just believing that the Lord will help me more and more to help listeners to understand what that verse really means. That's a short verse, but it's such a powerful verse. Again, listen to the words again of Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We live in a dark world, but God's word is pure light. There's nothing that has more light in the world than the word of God. God's word is light. God is the source of all light. Therefore, his word is the source of all light. So if we're wise, we will be diligent students of God's word, believers who read and meditate on the word of God every day. But not just read and meditate on it, you live it. You obey it, because there's great blessing. There's great reward in doing what God says. Why is that true? Well, there are many reasons, but amongst other things, God's word is a book of eternal wisdom. And when you hear it and do it, it'll bless you. And it makes you a greater blessing to the world around you as well. And so the wisest way to live is where you listen to God and do what he says every day. And you do that as a lifestyle. That's what the life of a disciple is all about. Someone who's listening to God and doing what he says as a lifestyle. So as we look at the topic, the joy of discipleship, keep in mind, in Matthew chapter 28, it contains what we refer to as the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, picking up at verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Again, the Great Commission is to every believer in all the world. No matter who you are, where you live, no matter what color you happen to be, what nationality, what background, no matter who you are, if you're a believer, you're called to carry out the Great Commission. So that means evangelism is to be a part of our life and is to be a part of our lifestyle. Discipleship is to be a part of our life and our lifestyle. Every day going about the work of telling others how to be saved, and once they're saved, how to grow up in their faith. And keep in mind, I often try to remind believers that the word pro is a good tool to help us remember the basic building blocks of the life of a disciple. The three letters of the word pro, P-R-O, P refers to prayer. We're called to become prayer warriors. Every believer is called to become a prayer warrior, and prayer is to be a vital part of the life of every disciple. So P refers to prayer. R refers to reading, specifically reading and meditating on the Word of God. Every believer is to be a diligent student of Scripture, not a passive, light student of Scripture, a diligent student of Scripture that feasts on the Word of God every single day. We pretty regularly encourage a goal of at least three chapters in the Bible every day. It might be the same chapter three times over. It might be three different chapters, but you're feasting and feeding on God's Word every single day. So R of the word pro refers to reading and meditating on the Word of God every day. O refers to obedience. Live what you learn. Remember, truth is always meant to be applied. You don't learn truth to say, "Oh, that's nice. That's a nice thing to know." Your goal should be, how can I take this and use this for the glory of God? How can I use this to honor God? How can I take this truth and put it to work so that I'll be a greater blessing to the world? Remember, the Bible is a book of wisdom. It's a book of grace, and it's like a bottle of grace. And it's as if every day God's question is, how much do you want? Do you want to pour grace into your life? Read the Bible more. You are literally pouring grace in and upon your life. Again, the bottle is like a book of grace and a bottle of grace. And don't just sip on it. Turn the bottle up, you know? Get drunk on the grace of God, and that's a good thing. Drunk on the Holy Spirit, that's a good thing. Because, see, when the Holy Spirit takes us over and he's running over in our lives, we become a maximum blessing to the world. The world desperately needs the grace, the light, the blessing that comes from the Holy Spirit. So being full of the Word of God is very, very important. So, you know, when I talk to a believer who sometimes says, "Well, I read my verse for today. I read my scripture out of my little promise box," and that's better than nothing. But that's kind of like eating a spoonful of cornflakes and say, "Well, I've eaten for the day." You want a good, solid meal. And typically, we eat a number of meals during the day. So reading, again, three chapters is a good basic spiritual meal. And if you decide three is not enough for you and you want more, wonderful. You can't overeat the Word of God. Lord, thank you for your Word. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would cause us to have a growing hunger for your Word every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We'll be right back.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you.
Brian and Katie Torwalt, When You Walk Into the Room. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the joy of discipleship. And keep in mind, all of us are called to live a lifestyle of discipleship. That is, we're called to be a disciple and we're called to make disciples. And as we mentioned, the three letters of the word pro, P-R-O, remind us of three basic building blocks of the life of a disciple. P, referring to his or her prayer life. R, referring to reading and meditating on the Word of God every day. O, referring to obedience. Live what you learn. 2 Timothy chapter 3, picking up at verse 1, it tells us these words. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Johnnies and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Johnnies and Jambres. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Verses 1 through 17, all of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this chapter powerfully paints some powerful realities about our world today. It talks about in the last days the way people will be, and it describes powerfully so many characteristics in people that we see in our culture today, so many negative things. But the chapter ends up with powerful wisdom for us all to listen to. It lets us know, it ends up by talking to us about the Word of God. Again, picking up at verse 15 near the end of the chapter, you've been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Remember, the Word of God is the key to everything in life. The Word of God is the key to everything in life. And the Word of God is Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. So when you're spending time in the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus. And when you spend that time with Jesus, he's molding you, he's shaping you. When you're reading the Word of God, yes, you're reading it, but at the same time, he's reading you. He's working on you, molding and shaping and helping you to become more and more like him. And the absolute best and most advantageous place to be in life is to be someone who knows Jesus and is faithfully following Jesus. That's the best place to be in all of life. So being a disciple and making disciples, all of us are called to that. Now, the way that's lived out in each of our lives is different because we have different callings. But the Holy Spirit is our divine tutor. He will teach you how to live out the life of a disciple as you spend time with God in his word every day and in prayer. He'll teach you as you do the things God has said. Now, one of the reasons why it's so important to be obedient is because, remember, there's purpose behind every command. God is helping you to move more and more into his purpose, his calling, his will for your life. And so when you hear God's word and obey it, then it blesses you in many, many ways. So, and remember this, the best thing you can give to anybody is Jesus. And so to you as individual believers and as loved ones, as husbands and wives, husbands, the best thing you can give to your wife is Jesus. Wives, the best thing you can give to your husbands is Jesus. Parents, the best thing you can give to your children is Jesus. Parents, what problems are your children dealing with, whether they're young or whether they're adults? They need Jesus and they need his grace to deal with whatever they're going through. The challenges of life, Jesus is the answer to every single one of them. So it's important that we're walking with God and listening to the Holy Spirit because, again, in either direct statement or in principle, you know God's word literally carries the answer to your challenge right now. Whatever your biggest challenge or difficulty, in either direct statement or in principle, the word of God has the answer. That's why we're supposed to be diligent students of God's word, because remember, the Holy Spirit is our divine tutor. When you're dealing with a situation where you say, well, I don't quite know what the word of God has to say about this issue, if it's not directly dealt with, there's principles that will help you know this is the will of God for your circumstance. Do God's will, and you see God's blessing to follow. Obedience is always followed by an outpouring of grace in your life, and it also leads to the solution. But the key is hear God's word and do God's word in every circumstance. So helping our children, parents, helping your children stay in the word, to look to the word for wisdom and guidance, to look to God in prayer, that can always help bring the solutions that we need to the challenges we're dealing with in life. I want to share a reading that we've shared before, but it's one about discipleship in a unique circumstance within the home, but it makes a powerful point. And it's a reading simply entitled, God Lives Under the Bed. And just, I want you to really give some thought to this. I envy Kevin. My brother Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped to listen. And Kevin said these words in his prayer. Are you there, God? He said. Where are you? Oh, I see, under the bed. I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspectives are often a source of amusement to us. But that night, something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world Kevin lives in. He was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, he's 6'2". There are few ways in which he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed, that Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under our tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes he's different. Is he ever dissatisfied with his monotonous life? Up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, return to eat his favorite macaroni and cheese for dinner, and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme is laundry, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine like a mother with her newborn child. He doesn't seem to be dissatisfied. Kevin lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a simple day of work. He wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove before dinner, and he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for his next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays, oh, the bliss of Saturdays. That's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside. That one's going to Chicago, Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. And so goes Kevin's world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. Kevin doesn't know what it means to be discontent. His life is simple. He'll never know the entanglements of wealth or power, and he doesn't care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. His hands are diligent. Kevin is never so happy as when he's working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuums the carpet, his heart is completely in it. He doesn't shrink from a job when it is begun, and he doesn't leave a job until it's finished. But when his tasks are done, Kevin knows how to relax. Kevin's not obsessed with his work or the work of others. His heart seems to be pure. He still believes everyone tells the truth, that promises should be kept, and when you're wrong, you apologize instead of argue. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances, Kevin is not afraid to cry when he's hurt, angry, or sorry. He's always transparent, always sincere, and Kevin trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, when he comes to Christ, he comes like a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him in a way that's difficult for a quote-unquote educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. In my moments of doubt and frustrations with my Christianity, I envy the security Kevin has in his simple faith. It is then I'm most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It's then that I realize that perhaps he's not the one with the handicap. Maybe I am. My obligations, my fear, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities when I don't trust them to God's care. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn in this life? After all, he spent his whole life with a kind of innocence, praying after dark and soaking up the goodness and love of God. And one day when the mysteries of heaven are opened, and we are all amazed at how close God really is to all of us and our hearts, I'll realize that God heard the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lived under his bed. Kevin won't be surprised at all. Again, an interesting reading, a really beautiful reading, simply entitled God Lives Under the Bed, but it's a reminder that, again, discipleship is so much in order because in this world, the greatest need of every human being is simply to know Jesus and to know how to follow him, to be a disciple. To follow him each and every day. Hearing his word and obeying his word is so, so very important to each and every one of us. Keep in mind, all of us are called to be disciples and to make disciples, whoever we might be. Father, thank you, Lord, for every home represented, every home listening today. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of them. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would help us to be wise enough to every day read and meditate on your instruction manual that we call the Bible, and help us to live what we learn. Help us to discern, Lord, that the Word of God is a book of wisdom, that as we simply carry it out, we'll receive greater blessing in our lives and will be a greater blessing to those around us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'm going to take time to share another article. We probably won't be able to finish it on this side of the break, but I want to begin it. It's simply entitled, Words That Bless, Words That Heal. And keep in mind, we're talking about discipleship and being a hearer and doer of God's Word. Again, the title of this article, Words That Bless, Words That Heal. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, Proverbs 18:21. And then Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Again, Proverbs 16:24. Then Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're today. We're looking at the topic, the joy of discipleship. We'll be right back. Music of Mercy Me, song simply entitled, Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the joy of discipleship. And the scriptures we read at the beginning of the broadcast, Psalm 1, Psalm 19, and Psalm 112, all of them talk about the importance of being a student of God's Word. But note too, go back and read them. All of them talk about the joy of listening and following God as well. There's great joy in knowing Jesus and walking with him. And keep in mind, you know, I recently heard heard of an individual that indicated that their joy level was at zero. Well, that's not very encouraging to hear if someone says their joy level is at zero. But I want you to keep this very important truth in mind. The Bible lets us know the joy of the Lord is your strength. But keep this in mind. If my joy level is at zero, you know whose fault it is? It's mine. Because the Holy Spirit is a river of joy. And if you know Jesus, that river is flowing inside of you all the time. And our job is to dip into that river through thanksgiving and praise and worship. Those are ways to stir up your joy. Getting into the Word of God, that's a way to cause more joy to pour into your life. There are things you can do to stir up your joy any day of the week. So keep in mind, if my joy level is at zero, it's my fault. I have the river of the joy of the Holy Spirit flowing in me all the time, but it's my job to dip into that river So thanksgiving and praise are means. Take time to thank God for his goodness and the things he's doing in your life, and watch your joy level begin to rise. And it'll keep rising as you keep on thanking and praising and rejoicing in the Lord. Sharing the article entitled Words That Bless, Words That Heal. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Then Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Then Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Words are powerful. The words we as people speak every day are much more powerful and effective than most of us really comprehend. Our words can do things far beyond what we sometimes seem to realize. Words can make someone's day, and words can ruin someone's day. Words can lift people up, and words can terribly discourage people. Words can give people hope, and words can help people feel hopeless. As the scripture already has said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. Again, our words are powerful, much more so than we as human beings typically understand. A saying that used to be popular years ago stated, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. This is possibly one of the biggest lies you will ever hear. Words can hurt to an extreme degree, and people use them to hurt others every single day. Yet for us as believers, followers of Christ, our goal is to use our words every day to bless others. We're to seek to live a lifestyle of speaking words that habitually bless others and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's to be our lifestyle of doing just that. Our words should bless others, promote healing and grace and encouragement in the lives of those around us. We should habitually lift others up by our words. It is, in fact, relatively easy to bless others and encourage people with our words if we wisely and very deliberately seek to do so. Well, what are some words that we can speak as a lifestyle and habitually that can bless others? What are some words that can promote healing and grace and encouragement? Here are a few. The words, thank you, I appreciate you, please, how can I help you? I'm sorry, I apologize, please forgive me, how can I pray for you? What can I do to bless you today? You are awesome, you are a blessing, I believe in you, I believe you can do it, you will do great. Other phrases, things we can share that can bless others. Phrases such as, reading God's word every day can bless you a lot. Reading 3 chapters in the Bible every day can bless you a lot. Make time to pray daily, and it'll bless your life a lot, etc. Again, words of wisdom and encouragement in the things of God. And obviously, when we share the gospel and witness to others, inviting them to receive Christ, these are some of the greatest healing words in all of life. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household, Acts 16:31. Negative words can be hurtful and discouraging and toxic. Some words and phrases to avoid would include, I don't like you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't have anything to apologize for. I can't stand you. You're not worth anything. Can't you do anything right? You always say or do the wrong thing, etc. Toxic, sad words quoted by people. In James chapter 3, we're told much about the effect of our tongue. James 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Again, James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. We are wise to pray the prayer found in Psalm 141, verse 3, every day of our lives. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So we're each wise to assess ourselves and our words. We're very wise to judge the words we speak in our life and as a lifestyle. And we are wise to ask, do my words bless and heal and encourage? Are my words kind? Or do my words hurt, sting, and destroy? Or do I go back and forth and do both? Our clear goal should be to live a lifestyle of blessing those in our world with our words. May we each make it a goal to pray for the Lord to make our tongue a blessing to all those we come in contact with everywhere we go. Again, the title of that article, Words That Bless, Words That Heal. If you want to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to get it to you. Please email me for it, because again, our goal is when we share these articles that you'll receive them, use them as a tool for discipleship in your own life, and a tool to do discipleship in your family, and a tool to forward and pass on to others so that they too can grow from the biblical wisdom that's shared within the article as well. Hope you'll do just that. Again, joseph@afr.net. How important it is that we remember that we're to hear God's word and do it. So when you hear a verse that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, we need to pray, Lord, help me to use my tongue to be a major blessing everywhere I go. How important that is. Very, very important. And again, there's joy in hearing God's word and obeying it. I want to share one last reading before our time runs out. It's a reading that was shared with me by a young mom about encouraging her son to get into the word. When my older son, Bud, was about 16, I frequently found myself at odds with him about one thing or another. I was a relatively new Christian, and he was not yet saved. I was feeling my way around in my new faith, and he was fully dedicated to testing it at every turn. One day I decided we needed a family outing. My two younger children were delighted and excited, but Bud was not. As usual, his behavior was less than respectful. I knew the outing would be a complete disaster if his attitude persisted, so I told him he wouldn't be allowed to go. I also required that he spend his time at home in profitable pursuit. But while we're gone, I want you to start reading the book of Joshua, and you'd better read it. There will be a quiz when I get home. I think he was glad to have the house to himself for the afternoon without the happy Christians around to bug him, but not very pleased at his assignment / punishment. When we got back a few hours later, a very animated Bud greeted us at the door, pointing excitedly at the page of an open Bible. Mom, he exclaimed, have you read this? Yes, of course, I answered. Mom, this is so cool. You need to hear what Joshua did. I mean, he was really cool. For Bud, that marked the beginning of a lifetime love of the Word of God. He came to the knowledge of Christ and received Christ a few months later and became a student of the Bible. He was graduated from a Christian college and is now writing Sunday school curriculum. How do we reach the heart of a rebellious teenager? Through God's Word. His Holy Spirit is faithful to bring forth fruit in the hardest heart. Again, a reading from a faithful mom about how God's word influenced her son. Well, our time is just about gone, but as we normally do, again, in just a few moments, we're going to share the opportunity to receive Christ. But again, I want you to keep this very important point in mind. We're commanded by God to go into all the world and make disciples, but understand this. The devil wants you to see it as a big burden and a big responsibility. Well, it is a great responsibility, but don't look at it as if it's a big burden. The reality is there's great, great joy in doing the work of making disciples. The best thing you can give to other people is Jesus, the Word of God. There's nothing that will bless people more then Jesus and his word. Make it your goal to be a disciple and make disciples as a lifestyle, and you will be a major blessing to the world around you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be a disciple and to make disciples. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace, the spirit of boldness and courage in being a disciple and doing out and in the work of carrying out the work of making disciples as well. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never asked Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, you know you're not saved, or you're questioning where you are in your faith, or questioning who you are, where you are. If you desire to be saved and give your life to Christ, today is a good day to do that. If you'd like to do that, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to live what I learn. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature that will help you to begin, literature and resources that will help you to begin to grow up, grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please email me. My email, once again, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you. And also, if you're wanting copies of the articles that we shared, again, we're glad to get those to you as well. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to share them with you as well. Thanks for listening. Again, we've today looked at the topic, the joy of discipleship. Remember, every day, make it your goal to be a disciple and do the work of making disciples. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.